Hello everyone, this is Julia McCutcheon, founder and creative director of the International Association of Conscious and Creative Writers at IACCW.com. And a very warm welcome to our monthly event for free and full members of the IACCW. And a special welcome also to our new members this month. We are delighted that you've joined our community at Conscious Writing. And thank you all for making the time to join us here on the live call. We are going to be discussing how to write yourself well as a conscious writer, and I'll be introducing my special guest, Jackie Holder, in just a moment. And first of all, for the benefit of our new members, I'll just explain how these calls are organized. All members have the opportunity each month to email questions to us on the topic that we're discussing in advance of the live call. And all you need to do is send your questions to info@iaccw.com, and as long as we receive them at least 24 hours in advance, we will do our best to include them. So each interview lasts about 60 minutes, and the audio recordings are posted to the members-only area at iaccw.com. And once you've logged in the usual way, you will find these on the past events page. Okay, so let's move on to today's interview with our special guest speaker, Jackie Holder. Jackie is the author of three nonfiction books, 49 Ways to Write Yourself Well, Be Your Own Best Life Coach, and Soul Purpose. And she has been featured and contributed to a number of articles and magazines in the UK and internationally. Jackie is an executive coach, a coaching, leadership, and management trainer, a conference and seminar speaker, and creative writing tutor. She holds a master's in personal development in creative writing from Sussex University, a postgraduate certificate in executive coaching from Lancaster University, and is an accredited coach supervisor with the Coaching Supervision Academy, as well as an ordained interfaith minister. Amongst many other things, she is a self-confessed bookaholic and believes in the power of the pen to transform our lives from the inside out. I'm delighted to say that Jackie is also an IACCW charter member. And for more information about Jackie and all of the work that she gets up to, you can visit both of her websites at jackieholder.com and also writeyourselfwell.com. So, Jackie, thank you so much for joining us today, and a very warm welcome to you.
Oh, thanks so much, Julie. I'm really delighted to be here, particularly the first start of the year. It's just a really good way to get going.
Perfect. Perfect. It is perfect timing for this conversation. So, as you know, we always start by asking our speakers to share something of their story of how they came to be writers, how they came to be published authors, and something about their relationship with writing. So can we kick off with that question, please?
Yeah, I think I've been thinking about that question and thinking, where do I really start? Because for me, it really started as a young child growing up in South London. I was a part of my whole childhood experience was I experienced child sexual abuse in my growing up. As a child, and one of the things that I did was, or really came into my life at that time, was I really found a really safe space by going down to my local library. It all started when my teacher started reading a particular book to our class, and one weekend I just decided that I could not wait for her to finish the book. I had to get down to my local library, and I must have persuaded my mum or my uncle to take me down there. And I ended up trying to tell the librarian all about the story. I ended up getting a book about The Secret Seven by Enid Blyton, finishing that over the weekend. And then it was almost as if every day I would go to the local library. And I just became a lover of books. And I think that from there, because I really loved books, I also then fell into loving writing. And I had a teacher at school, her name was Mrs. Hines, and she was quite a prolific artist, and she really enjoyed teaching English, and I really found that I could express parts of myself on the page in a way that I felt that I was quite silent as a child about certain aspects of my life. And I think writing, I say to people that writing saved my life, and I really do feel that back then, between the ages of 7 to 14, as I moved into my teenage years, that writing was one of the few places in my life where I really felt safe, where I felt that I could be myself. And I used to write in many, many, many different ways. I remember we had a competition at my local library, and I entered the competition, and I wrote a poem. Now, I can't remember what that poem was about, but I knew that I found a way to voice and express myself through those words, and I actually won second prize in the poem, and it got displayed in the glass cabinet in the front of my local library. So when I got to secondary school, I think a lot of my love of writing sort of petered out a bit as I kind of got caught up in academia, and then I went from there to college onto university. And by the time I came out of university, I really hadn't been expressing myself in the way that I did in those earlier years. But as soon as I completed my degree, I just found that all these poems just flew out of me. It was as if I was carrying those poems around with me, all these narratives, or all these feelings and emotions. And the moment I closed the door on academia, I just gave birth to them on the page. And I didn't consider myself a poet at the time, but poems seemed to be the way in which I could write about difficult feelings and emotions in a way without it being very upfront and in my face. And that's one of the things about poetry therapy, is that often people will be able to relate to a poem and not feel as daunted about a particular experience that they're going through, because the poem makes it safer. It's almost as if a poem is in a container. It's got a border, it's got an end, it's got a beginning, and it's got an end. And it is a place that we can navigate our way through much more easily sometimes than when we just write, free write, or write narratives on the page. So at the age of 21, I just started birthing all these poems. And then as I moved into my later 20s, I think I really began to commit to putting myself on paper. I've got this sentence that I walk around with now. I say life begins on paper, and for me, it really does begin on paper, because it is the journal writing was the way in which I really began that real love of writing and really began to express myself much more clearly, but in a way that really was for myself. It wasn't for public consumption. It was a way of me beginning to unravel a lot of things that needed unraveling in me. And then when I got to about my late 20s, moving into my 30s, I began to do a lot of personal development work because of my background. I worked as a youth and community worker. I was doing training and development, and I began to run lots of coach personal development programs at the weekends. And what happened was I decided that I wanted to write a book. I'd never spoken to other people about what I wanted to write, but I just spoke to someone one day on a course, and he really encouraged me to put the ideas down that I wanted to articulate in the book into a proposal. And what I really wanted to do was to find a way of helping other people like myself who perhaps felt that they had been the only ones that had gone through a particular experience to feel empowered, to feel energized, to find a way to find their voice, to not let their past become their story. And I followed his advice. He said to me, this is what needs to go into a book proposal. I thought, great, I've got all these experiences. I've been working with lots of, particularly it was women at the time, who had gone through lots of different experiences, some similar to mine, some completely different. And I just trusted. I put the book proposal together. I sent it out to publishers that I'd never, ever seen before or had any contact with. Sent it out to 10 publishers, and within 2 weeks, I had a response from one publisher, and they were so excited about the book proposal. They wanted to meet me. I went and I met with them. They said, we love your story. We want you to put the book together. And I liked them so much, I just decided instantly to say yes. And I went with them. And then about 2 weeks later, another letter came in from another major publisher saying, yeah, we're interested in your book as well. But I'd already committed myself. So I set about writing my first book. I thought that I was going to be writing a book that was aimed at other women in particular, but I ended up writing a book that was more partly a memoir and a self-development book. And you know, there is a saying that we often write books for ourselves, we're often writing for our own stories. That's what I think I ended up doing. I ended up writing a story that was, or a book that was really about me getting some of my story out. It wasn't all of my story. I didn't go into all of the depths about what I had experienced, but I suppose at the time I wrote about as much as I was willing to expose of myself, as much as I was willing to be vulnerable and share my experiences with the wider world. But that book was very, very important to me, Soul Purpose, because it gave me the confidence to not just think about my life as a public writer, but to really spend the next few years really committing to a disciplined and a daily, almost daily practice of journal writing. And I think if I hadn't had that practice of journal writing, I probably would have gone down some other path, been doing some other profession, because the act of journal writing really had so many values and benefits for me. And it's something that I hold very dearly. I don't see my life without me being a journal writer. I see it as something that is part and parcel of who I am and how I make sense of myself in the world, how I keep myself sane, and is a bit of, it's almost as if it's my prescription that I prescribe myself to keep myself well.
Ah, fantastic. Very inspiring, Jackie.
Thank you.
So that's paved the way for the work that you've been developing over more recent years, which has culminated in your more recent book, which has led us to this conversation today, which is all about how to write yourself well as a conscious writer. And what a powerful story you've just told us there, and in terms of your own experience of using writing to write yourself well. And and I'd love to take that as an opportunity to ask you to give us an overview, really, of what it really means to write yourself well before we actually dive into the detail.
Yeah, it's a good question, because a lot of people, I do a lot of journal writing workshops at different events, and people often will ask really with, a lot of interest, how will journal writing help? And for me, there are a number of ways in which journal writing can help. I think of it as, when I write in my journal, it means that I wake up to my day. It means I wake up to my experiences. It means that I am more aware, I am more alert, and I have a much better sense of myself and how I am being in the world. So very often when we talk about journal therapy, we're talking about particular kinds of writing. We're talking about therapeutic writing. We're talking about expressive writing, which is writing that is allowing us to find a way, creative ways, different ways of expressing ourselves around our emotions and our feelings that allows us to have a better insight and a better understanding of what those emotions and feelings mean, what choices we might want to make around them, and providing an entry point into having different perspectives on those experiences, so that experiences that might hold us back, might get in the way of our self-belief and our self-confidence, might make us not feel as creative as we could be, not to hold us back from creating the kinds of businesses that we want to create. We can find a way of understanding them by gaining those insights into the writing process that enables us to think differently, that enables us to act differently. And I use the word creative quite consciously because one of the things that I find about journal writing is that there are so many different ways that you can be creative on the page. You know, lots of people have a kind of opinion or an idea of journal writing as a bit like diary writing, that in a way it's a description of your day, it's a description of what you've done. But it is much more than that. It's really about, you could write a sentence about what you're feeling and then you might just choose an object to describe, to show how your feeling is related to that object or not related to that object. You might decide that on the page of your journal you draw an image that describes the particular feeling or emotion that you are connecting with at that moment in time. And by drawing that image, say you drew a cloud or a flower, it just gave you much more material and data for you to think about and connect with what is it you're feeling that sometimes we don't automatically get to in our first thoughts and our first thoughts and thinking process. So for me, writing yourself well is about using words, using images in the pages of a notebook or a journal, whatever you want to call it, and using them to gain those insights into yourself. And ultimately, it is about us becoming better people, more aware people. One of the things I often say to people is that I know that when I don't write in my journal, I'm a much more crabby person. I'm a much nicer person to live with when I'm regularly writing in my journal. Because first of all, a lot of the things that might upset me, cause me anxiety, I might be angry about, disappointed about, instead of those things being leaked out onto other people, they're siphoned off in the pages of my journal. So I can rant, I can vent, I can express myself without any fear of retaliation, judgment, people thinking that that's not a nice thing to think. The pages of my journal are so non-judgmental. It's a neutral space. It's a space where you can say exactly what you feel and you know you're not going to have any repercussions from that. And, you know, a lot of GPs, a lot of medical surgeries, a lot of GP surgeries, they're actually using things like poetry therapy. They're introducing more journal writing practices into some of the other therapies that they're offering because they're recognizing that this is a way in which people can take charge of their own emotions, their own feelings. Because I think a lot of the time what's happening is that we don't know what to do with being able, in terms of being able to move through our feelings and our emotions. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people think that you have to hold back from your emotions. If you try and suppress them, that will make you be better at coping. Well, actually, emotions always find a way through. And they don't always find the best way through. And one of the things you can do with writing yourself well is to give your emotions and your feelings the space, the airspace that they actually need. And you'll often find that you'll come out the other end feeling so much more invigorated.
Indeed, yes. And it's lovely to hear your personal perspective on this, and you just started moving us into the territory of saying that GPs and doctors and other health professionals are using journaling and poetry as a therapeutic tool. And of course, there's been a lot of research done over the last 10 or 20 years on the both the therapeutic and the psychological benefits of journal writing and expressive writing. And I wonder if you could share perhaps one or two examples of the research that you think might support what you've just been saying about the benefits of it.
Yeah. I think what I love, Julia, is that there's been lots more research recently over the last 10 years about the benefits of therapeutic writing, expressive writing, and journal writing. I think the seminal study that most people will find quoted in any of the literature that they go to is the work of Dr. James Pennebaker from the University of Texas. And it is quite significant, this piece of research, because what came out of this research that when people had experienced a trauma or very difficult experience in their lives, and they wanted to find a way of working through that using the therapeutic writing process, what James Pennebaker did was he got a group of students to write for 4 days consecutively for 20 minutes about a traumatic incident. And they also had a control group who wrote about not the details of any trauma or any traumatic incidents, but they wrote about their everyday experiences as they went through each day. And what came out of that was that there were quite significant health and psychological benefits that came out of that study. And it's fair to say that this hasn't just been one study. There have been several studies that have followed up, used new groups, built on the research that was originally done in the 1970s and then the 1980s. And some of the benefits included, they found that the students involved in that first original research study visited the health centres less, and they went to their doctor's surgeries less. They appeared to become more focused and made meaning of the situation in a way that it didn't have the same impact on them as being holding them back or being something that was not making them feel good about themselves. And overall, that it led to improved health benefits. What's also come out of it in terms of further studies is that there have been things like improved immune systems, psychological and physiological benefits. There have been decreases in some symptoms and health conditions. Lots of other people have also gone on to do a similar kind of research to this. As we had Laura King, who was also at the University of Texas in 2001. She did a similar piece of research. But this time, slightly different from Dr. James Pennebaker, the first group wrote about a traumatic event for 4 consecutive days, and the second group wrote about life goals and their best possible self for 4 consecutive days. And then they had a third group that wrote about an emotionally neutral topic for 4 consecutive days. And what came out of that particular piece of research is that 3 weeks later, groups 1 and 2, so the group that wrote about the traumatic event and the group that wrote around their future life goals and their best possible self, they reported a much more optimistic attitude towards their future. And then 5 months later, the students who wrote and made meaning of traumatic events and the students who wrote about their best possible selves, what they found was that they also visited their university health centers less than the students in the third group. Mm-hmm. So one, we're finding that writing about a traumatic event, rather than sink people further into the trauma or embed them in that past experience, when they have a time limit on it, so the idea was that writing for that 20 minutes, that you didn't go past that 20 minutes because they found that if people went or wrote for longer, it often meant that what they were doing is they were ruminating on the event. So that would often move someone more into worrying, anxiety, and often those are the early signs of depression. But writing for 20 minutes meant that they could get it out of their system, and then it changed their state. I'm noticing a lot around a lot of the research is that actually what writing does therapeutically and expressively, it actually changes our state. It can move us into a state of much more awareness, much more energy, a positive feeling as opposed to a negative feeling, and actually generates much more mindfulness.
Excellent.
And then I was just going to say one more quick one, yeah. Was that, another one was by Karen Harmon, and I think Karen Harmon James, and I think this one's interesting because I have lots of conversations with people about handwriting, you know, whether it's best to handwrite in your journal, whether it's okay to keep a journal on your computer, and I'm one of the diehards. I absolutely am committed to handwriting because I've noticed that with handwriting, I access my the true, my authentic self much more easily when I write by hand than when I write on my computer using my keyboard. And I think I'm one of those people that when I'm on a computer using a keyboard, I'm actually thinking about editing as I'm writing. I'm actually thinking about, does this make sense? Is this what I want to say? Is this what I mean to say? But when I'm writing using handwriting, I'm just getting out whatever is there. And very often, there is more underneath our subconscious than we might be consciously aware of. So often the pen will take us to where we need to go, and it will often drill down and go down into deeper emotions, but not just deeper emotions, deeper ideas, solutions. And that's the rich material that we're often getting to when we develop a writing practice. And what Karen Harmon James found was that using handwriting, when people used handwriting and compared to when they went on the keyboard, they actually had a much stronger memory and recollection of remembering certain signs and symbols for those who used handwriting to remember the symbols than when they used the keyboards to try and recall the information. So there's something there about what handwriting is also doing in terms of our memory and how connected we are to what we're writing and what we're accessing.
Fabulous. Yeah, that's really good to hear. And it also moves it into the arena for writers who perhaps don't feel they have a traumatic event to write about, for example. Then finding the rationale for developing a journal writing habit, because this is something that everyone can benefit from, whether or not they've had deep trauma in the past. And I wonder if you'd like to briefly say anything else about the benefits of journal writing for someone who doesn't yet have the habit of doing so. And of course, this is a perfect time of year to begin new habits, isn't it? So do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah. So the first thing I was going to say, I found that when I really became a committed journal writer, I noticed that I often wrote much more when things weren't going well than when things were going well. And over the years, I've managed to balance that out. And what's interesting is I came across some more recent research which is showing that the benefits of writing about positive experiences enhances the feelings of positivity within the individual. Particularly Dr. James Pennebaker has also been finding that when we're writing, it's really important to write about a balance between positive emotions and negative emotions. So we feel more negative when we just write only about negative emotions. And if we write only about positive emotions and not about our negative emotions and feelings, we need to have a balance between the two. So there are benefits to coming to the page and writing about your positive experiences, particularly in the light of, for example, as in my work as a coach, I often work with people and they might have come to a point where they're having a challenge in their work, there's a difficulty, they've forgotten about the skills, the qualities, the attributes that they've used in the past that would actually help them with the current challenge and the scenario, the situation that they're faced with. If we're writing in our journals about positive experiences, then we can go back to those experiences and be reminded of what we have done in the past that would be really helpful in the present. And, you know, people often ask or, you know, pose the question, you know, should you go back and read your journals? I am finding that when I go back to my journals, I am absolutely gobsmacked by some of the rich material that I have written about in my journals, which is not just about my experiences, my emotions and my feelings. I might start off writing in my journal one morning about, you know, what happened the day before, a challenge that I might be having in my work, something that's going on in my relationship or a relationship with a friend that might not be working out as well as it, you know, I would like it to. And then once I've kind of got past all of that, what I often find is that I start writing about things that I want to include in my work. I might come up with some exercises for a particular training that I'm going to be doing in the next few days. I might come up with some ideas for some blog posts. I then find myself writing about, getting some ideas about an article. And it's a real rich place where I find that I can generate all kinds of different ideas about my work and express my creativity in so many different ways. And so I find that it's a creative hub for me, and I would suggest to journal writers that your journal can be a really good space for you to be much more reflective. So you can come up with ideas there, you can reflect on things that have happened to you, you can think about how you might do things differently, you might think about new things that you want to take on or try out, you might come up with goals in your journal, things that you want to try out. So it can be such a wealth of creative ideas. I think the journal also slows us down. It really, and it's coming back to what I just said about being reflective, and it also allows us to be mindful. I remember in one workshop I had about 30 people sitting there, and they were asking me questions about journal writing. We were doing some journal writing exercises. And towards the end of it, someone just blurted out, and she did blurt it out in a way that everyone started laughing because you could feel the sense of frustration that she felt. She said, "Jackie, it's all very good, you know, giving us all these fantastic exercises that, you know, I can do in my journal, but I'm a meditator and I meditate for half an hour at the beginning of each day. How am I going to fit in time to do this journal writing?" And, you know, everybody fell about laughing because the way she said it was really, people could really resonate with it. And I said to her, you know, well, what would be the benefit of you journal writing? You know, once you're doing your meditation, what do you think would, what value would keeping a journal add? And she said a few things, and I said to her, well, you know, what could you do to make some time and space to have journal writing as a complement to your meditation practice? Mm-hmm. You know, she said a few things, and then she said, well, maybe I could get up a bit earlier and do the journal writing for 5-10 minutes, because I teach a practice of 7 minutes of journal writing, because that's the way to get people onto the page. You know, a lot of people think they need half an hour. You know, people even said to me, you know, but I need to have about an hour to write in my journal. You don't. You can have a very short amount of time and still generate something that is of value and is of meaning to you. Mm. So what she did was that she decided she would put 10 minutes in front of her meditation, or after she did her meditation, and she would just see what that brought about. I didn't see her for about a year. That was the first time I'd met her. I bumped into her about a year later, and she literally ran and threw herself on me and said, "I cannot believe how much I've gotten out of the journal writing. It has added value to my meditation practice."
Lovely. Yeah, that's a great story. Thank you for sharing that. And I think the issue of time is probably on many people's minds. So the fact that you've just said about the 7 minutes of journal writing can still be a really good practice, I think, is probably very encouraging for people to think about that.
And Julie, could I just add there that when the 7 minutes of journal writing, there's kind of an intention behind that, because often what people experience is once they start writing for 7 minutes, it's amazing. It's like some magic happens, and they often want to stay on the page for longer. Mm. So it's a way of getting you started, and very often what people find is that they can go for longer.
Yes, understood. So I'd like to move us into the area of some types of writing exercises and activities. We've spoken a fair bit about how therapeutic writing and journal writing generally is such a powerful tool for processing emotion. And obviously, many of us as writers experience a whole mixture of emotions around our writing, some of them negative that hold us back, and others more positive, obviously, but I know that you have so many ideas for writing exercises and activities. Perhaps you could share some types of things that might help people move past their emotions and feelings that might be blocking them or holding them back as writers.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I decided to, about 2 days ago, I had a bit of a challenge with something, and I thought, actually, I need to use one of the exercises from my book. So what I did was I got my journal out, and it's actually an exercise called Powerful Questions. I think it's on page 98 of my book. And what I did was, and as I do in my book, it invites the reader to write out what the challenge is or what the situation is. So that's what I did. I sat down in my journal, I wrote out the challenge and situation. And then on the other page, there are a whole list of questions that you can use in order to kind of have a dialogue or an interview around your issue with this question. I call them transformational questions. But they really help you get a different insight into the challenge or the situation that you're faced with. So what I did was the challenge that I had, I wrote it down, and I think the question that I had, that I picked was, I'm just scanning them to see if I can remember what the question was. Yes, I remember what it was. It was, what strengths do you have to resolve this issue or make this issue different right now? And I was pleasantly surprised when I picked that question. And what I did was I closed my eyes, I pulled out my index finger, and I circled the page with my index finger, and I let my index finger just fall on the page, and I just chose the transformational question that was in that square. I remember when I did it, I started smiling to myself. I was thinking, actually, this actually works, because immediately I felt more resourceful. So I had this situation that I was feeling a bit like, ooh, it was feeling a bit icky, and all of a sudden, within a few minutes of writing out the situation, choosing the transformational question, I was already feeling in a more resourceful state. And so there's a whole collection of questions that you could use there that you could just explore your issue with. So if I'll give you a couple of examples you could use with a situation that you're faced with. One of the questions says, if you was looking at this challenge upside down, what would be different? Well, that immediately gets you to stop and think about another perspective around the issue. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the worst it has ever been and 10 being the issue being resolved, where are you right now on the scale in relation to being able to resolve this issue? If you had a magic wand, what would you wish for? So if you can see the kind of questions that they are, they help you think about a way through the issue, but then invites you to write about it.
Fantastic.
Another exercise around just writing yourself well is I've worked with a lot of women in a range of different settings. So I've worked with women who have been challenged with addictions or in recovery or have been through the mental health system. And often we're really working with them to become more resourceful, more self-directive around their lives and to manage their emotions and their feelings. And they will often have come to the personal development group that I was running at the time with lots of life experiences that were very difficult. So I've got one exercise in my book called Hidden Blessings, but it's also an exercise that anyone could use. And the exercise asks you to write about the hidden blessings in three of your most difficult life challenges. So the idea behind this is that you're thinking about what are the lessons that you've gained from your life experiences that doesn't make that experience not worth you thinking about the good things that have come out of it. So for a lot of people, they will have learned to be very resilient or very resourceful as a result of their experiences. I know my particular experience from my childhood meant that I've had to develop a lot more compassion for myself and for other people. it has meant that I've been very sensitized, acutely aware of people's emotions and feelings, not in a way of, you know, having to try and meet other people's and make other people feel better all the time, but I'm highly intuitive because I'm sensitized to if something's not okay in an environment. I pick up on things very easily. It's given me that real strength in being able to intuitively connect into how someone might be feeling. So these kinds of exercises get you to think and pull out the positive things that might be in what we think are predominantly like difficult situations. Other kind of exercises I've got are things like writing with your non-dominant writing hand. That's an exercise I find so powerful. It can really help us to move out of a particular way of thinking and accessing more of our creative brain. When you write with your non-dominant writing hand, whether you're the right, you're right-handed or you're left-handed, it moves you into more of the creative brain, and you can access a lot more data and information than you would if you're writing with your dominant hand. So you can write as, if you think about it, I've done some writing with my non-dominant writing hand around an issue that I was challenged by. And when I wrote it with my non-dominant writing hand, I was quite surprised at the kinds of things that I was writing and I was saying to myself. It was almost as if the non-dominant writing hand allows you to be much more childlike, but really connecting with the child that was bold and courageous and adventurous and was willing to be playful and take risks. And it meant that because you were accessing those kinds of qualities by using the non-dominant writing hand, you often wrote about things that allowed you to think of it from that place, from that state. Another exercise that I love is writing with your eyes closed. Have you ever tried that?
I don't know if I have. Actually, no, that's not true. Of course I have. I have, yes. I do it quite a lot just thinking about it, yes.
Yeah, because I find that writing with my eyes closed, and I think, you know, your listeners will find that it will often allow you to write different things, not the things you expect that you write. And, you know, I really do believe, particularly when you're handwriting, that the pen does take you where you need to go. And it will never, I don't think when we write that it takes us to any material that we can't cope with, that we can't deal with. It always writes what we are able to respond to, what we're able to deal with. And I think these are just lots of different ways that we can access new data, new information, new perspectives that are all about us writing ourselves well.
Beautiful. Thank you. So one of the phrases that you use a lot in your work is who you are on the page is who you are off the page.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we've touched on some of the points relating to that already, but I'd love to invite you to explain what you mean by this and how this actually works in practice.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I went on a coaching supervision course, I think it was 2 years ago, trained to be a coach supervisor. And my tutor on the course, Miriam Orassis, one of her kind of phrases was, who you are is how you coach. And that really resonated with me and my peers on the coach. And it kind of just stayed with me. Who you are is how you coach. So who we are is what we bring to the coaching. And then I think it was sometime this year I was kind of browsing the internet and I came across a particular site. Her name's Laurie Wagner. I think she does something called Wild Writing. Really wonderful work with writers. And I can't remember, I think I was reading one of her blog posts, and there it was. Who you are on the page is who you are off the page. She just mentioned this in a response to one of her blog posts in terms of what somebody said. And I wrote it down on an index card, and I carried it around with me for a few weeks. And I thought, this really makes sense to me. And it made sense to me in the way of who you are on the page. When we can allow ourselves to write on a regular basis, get into the habit of developing a writing practice, we will often write ourselves to the part of ourselves that is who we authentically are. We access, you know, what we really think, what we really feel, what we really want to be doing, the truth of the kinds of things that are important to us. And you find that you will move into a place where who you are on the page, so often in our journals, the who we are on the page looks different to who we are off the page. But the more you write yourself, you will write yourself into that more authentic self, and that will begin to be expressed in the way you are off the page. And when I say off the page, I mean who you are in your daily life, who you are in your relationships, who you are at work, is in alignment with the self on the page that other people doesn't get seen, that other people don't get to see, with who you are off the page. And I think most of us are really writing to find ourselves on the page and express that self off the page. And I've noticed that I've been signing all my books. When I sign books now, I say to people, I hope that you can write yourself both on the page and off the page. And it's because I see so much magic when I, you know, when I'm running writing workshops, running writing retreats. You know, people access things about themselves that they didn't think. They find stories, they find narratives, they make connections, and they are just blown away by it. I remember I was reading, I love the work of Julie Bolton. She's a reflective practitioner. She was mentioned a lot when I did my master's in personal development and creative writing, but I didn't really read her much then when I was doing the course, but I've been reading a lot of her work over the last year. She's really excellent. And she talks about when she's training therapists, that one therapist commented and said, you know, she got the stuff in the writing therapeutic exercises that she did in Julie's workshop in a way that she never got to verbally, and that just blew her away. And that is my experience when I'm working with people on retreats and in workshops, that they get to material that often we just don't get to when we're talking about it with other people.
Very powerful. And what came to me when you were speaking then is about, you know, finding ourselves on the page and expressing that off the page, which I love how you put that. And you mentioned earlier about, you know, writing to find who we are at a deep, authentic level. And what came to me then was that the whole process that you've been describing today in terms of how to write yourself well using this therapeutic and journal writing is also a way of opening the channel, if you like, for that authentic voice to become natural for you. And when you're writing in a natural way and it becomes completely authentic, then it is easier to transfer that to what I would call project writing, you know, a book that you may be writing or anything that you're focused on creating with your writing that's for public consumption rather than private consumption. And this access to the authentic voice that the journal writing that you've been describing encourages in us then gives us a much better chance, I feel, of accessing that authentic voice in all of the writing that we do, the project writing, the business marketing copy we have to write, absolutely everything. It's that authentic voice and the connection with it that comes through so powerfully from what you've been saying, which we can then apply in all other areas of our writing, but also in all other areas of our life.
I think you're absolutely right, and I see it as in the way, if I think about the practice of journal writing and my commitment to that, I have definitely done my 10,000 hours, and I can say that I have come through that process, and it means that I have gotten to a place where my voice is far more natural now on the page, which has given me a far greater confidence. I write stuff, you know, I just push stuff out there now in a way that I never used to, because I was really, it was like an apprenticeship in finding that voice. And that's why I say to people, it is so, the journal writing has so many different benefits to you. You know, you don't need to just want to be a fiction writer or a non-fiction writer. As you said rightly, you could be, you know, a CEO of an organization, director of an organization. You could be somebody who works in a public service. But it means that it can help you connect with that voice so you can bring more of your authentic self to that role.
Mm, indeed. Lovely. So, Jackie, I think there are two writing activities that you want to share with us today that are examples of writing yourself well, the practices and techniques. What two writing activities did you want to share with us?
Well, the two that I had wanted to share was the one about question time and the one about hidden blessings. But okay. There are so many different things that we could, that writers can also do. So, for example, one of the techniques that I talk about in 49 Ways to Write Yourself is this whole idea of free writing. So often people think, well, you know, I don't know how to get started. Well, the idea with free writing is that you write anything that comes to into your mind, into your thoughts. You just write down whatever is there. And what's interesting about writing about whatever is there is that we don't really have a full sense of what is there until we arrive on the page and we put the pen on the page or we touch our fingertips on the keyboard, because there's often much more underneath the surface in terms of when we talk about from therapy, we talk about free association, we will often access a lot more information and a lot more data underneath the surface. So the idea of free writing is that you're giving yourself permission to dive in and to see what is there and what can kind of come up and reveal itself on the page. You can also think about things like using writing prompts. One of the writing prompts that I often say to people is a really good way of just beginning that process of just getting out your thoughts and your feelings is just to write down the prompt, "I remember." It's so powerful in helping us access our memories. I'm in the middle of writing, I've just started writing a memoir. I never in my life thought I would actually say this to people, that I'm writing a memoir. But I've been using the "I remember" prompt all the way through the writing process. So every morning when I turn up to write, I'm using "I remember" as that starting point. And what is surprising me is the memories that I thought that I would be wanting to write about are not the memories that are coming up at all. It's all kinds of different memories that some are making me smile, some are making me think, oh my God, I can't believe that, you know, that was part of my experience. So, you know, one of the memories that came up as I started writing about our family used to always go on church outings every summer. And what it made me connect with was that I've seen almost every seaside around the South Coast. But it also connected me with how much happiness there was also in my childhood. So even though I had a challenge in my childhood, there was also a lot of happiness in my family. We did such fantastic things, and it reconnected me to that memory. So when we're talking about writing ourselves well and having some exercises, I really wanted to just share those two very simple tools, because I think in this fast-paced environment and life that we're living, often the more complicated we make it, the more unlikely people are going to take to the page. Mm-hmm. But when they're given very simple ideas, simple techniques, it's much easier. And, you know, I just want to make a plug, like a final plug for journal writing, just thinking about the whole uprise of social media and just our, you know, how much social media has taken over our lives. I think social media is good. I think it's a great platform for ourselves as writers. And, you know, I certainly get a lot from other writers that helps me in terms of that whole journey of writing yourself well. But I think the journal really is that champion of being a space in our lives which are so public, particularly in relation to social media, where we can be private. It's like one space that we need to make sacred, actually, and really hold it, the reverence that the journal actually offers us as a space where we can be authentic we can be real, we can be ourselves, and that we have something that's open 24 hours and can be like a therapist to us.
Wonderful. That's an excellent note to bring this conversation towards the close. Thank you very much, and I couldn't agree more. I think that the importance of having private space that is sacred in the midst of this very public sharing world that we now live in is crucial. So, yeah, very, very well made point there. So, Jackie, we are really heading towards the end now of our time, and I'd love to give you the opportunity to say how people can follow up further with all that you've been saying. And I'm just going to mention your website again, because obviously people can check out what you're doing and read more information there. So you have two websites. The first one is jackieholder.com, and the second one is writeyourselfwell.com, which obviously is based around your book, 49 Ways to Write Yourself Well, which is lovely. I have it sitting here on my desk in front of me, and I definitely encourage people to have a look. There's tons and tons of fabulous content in there. So anything else that you would like to mention specifically, Jackie?
I think thank you very much for mentioning my website. And I think really if people want to connect with me, they can really find me on my main website, which is jackieholder.com. I've got loads of free resources on there. And I absolutely love sharing resources with other writers and sharing resources that will help writers get onto the page. I've just put out a free journal, how to journal workbook for free around the internet, and I'm getting loads of good feedback on that. So if people want to get hold of that, they can download that from jackieholder.com. And I am slowly learning the ropes of Twitter land, and you will find me quite active on Twitter. I'm really seeing that it's a real great place to socialize and share great content and lots of writing tips and techniques. And I'm also going to be running a retreat in Greece this year, which I'm going to be loading up onto the website shortly. That's going to be in June. So I would be really delighted to have people join me there, where we can really deepen into the work of writing yourself well.
Wow, very exciting. Well, thank you so much, Jackie. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you, and thank you for sharing all of the tips and all of the stories that you've shared with us today. It's been delightful. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Julia. I've really enjoyed myself.
Wonderful. Good. Okay, and thanks also to all of you for listening and for joining us here today on the call. We hope you've enjoyed what we've been discussing. I'm sure you'll be taking away some interesting tips, and hopefully, as always, encouraging you to put those into practice, all that you've learnt today. And we will look forward to catching up with you at the same time next month, when our guest speaker will be Michelle Pilley. She is the Managing Director and Publisher of Hay House UK, who's a leading independent publisher. And she's going to be talking to us on the topic of the inside story of independent publishing. So having immersed ourselves in the writing today, and next month we'll be immersing ourselves in the whole world of publishing. So I hope very much that you will join us then. And wherever you are in the world, have a fantastic rest of day or evening, and we'll say bye-bye for now.